Sometimes I think we put too much confidence in the ways of man. And Jesus pointed this out to us. This blind man came up to him and asked him if he'd fix him. So Jesus bent down, picked up some dirt, spit in it, made some mud. I got to try this trick sometime. I just got to see for the reaction I get. Rubbed it in his eyes and said, "What do you see? Men as trees, you know." And they said, "Go to the pool of Siloam." So he washed in the pool of Siloam, said, now he could see. Sounds like a nice story. But what happened was Jesus reached down and picked up broken creation and showed us that you cannot fix broken creation with broken creation. The word Siloam means the sent one. He was telling us, go to the sent one. Go to Jesus. Broken creation is not going to fix broken creation, but Jesus will. Amen? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? This is not broken creation. This is the love of God in our hands. It's one of the most intimate things that you can do with Jesus. When you partake in the Holy Communion, you're actually remembering His sacrifice. And you're pointing out different things in this sacrifice that He did for you. The first thing we need to look at is this bread is made without yeast. And it's important to know this. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body is and was without sin. 100%. He never made a mistake. So we're looking and we're identifying this as the body of Christ, the perfect sinless body that was beaten and bruised for us. His body was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And if you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it, the Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood and we get redemption in some area. Also, if you'll look, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and well-being, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. This blood is so perfectly sinless that it is still alive and doing what God sent it to do. It kind of annoys me when I hear people say that that blood was spilled, and that would be an accident. That blood was not spilled. It was shed on purpose for our redemption. And it's because of that blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood that our sins have been washed away. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And remember, Jesus talked about two men that built houses. One built his house on the sand, and one built his house on the rock. He said, the man that listens to these words of mine and does them is like a man that built his house on the rock. And when the storm hit, it withstood the storm. The man that built his house on the sand is the guy that didn't listen to the words that Jesus had to say and didn't do them. And when the storm hit, it was a great loss. But here's the thing. When we get born again, we've got a foundation. You got your foundation on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Now, what are you going to put on that foundation? See, these are important questions. And I have heard people literally talk about a whole realm of things that they put on their foundation. All the way, I had one man tell me, you can't hardly be a Christian without being a Mason. And he said, you really need to be a volunteer in the fire department. If you're a Christian, well, you know, that's just hay and stubble. That's going to burn up before it hits the gates of hell. We want to put stuff on the foundation that will last. So we're going to look at some of those things. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Now look over to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now, in our adventures of life, we're going to find a lot of things that we can put on our foundation. And if you do not study the Word of God for yourself so that you can rightfully divide the Word of truth, you might stack a lot of nonsense onto your foundation of life. And when the storm hits, it's going to be bad. But if you take revelation knowledge that you get from the Word of God, literally rhema words, and these different new creation realities, and you stack them on your foundation, you're going to build a fortress. Now the storms are going to hit. Everybody is going to get hit with storms. Jesus said that, in this world there shall be tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You're not going to get through this life without going through storms. Sometimes it may feel like you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. But guess what? You need to just stop for just a second. Remember back in your past, all those different horrible events that you went through, or different great big challenges. You know, you got to it and you said, this is the end. I'm not going to be able to make it through this. So how are we going to survive this? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? Well, if you're right here today breathing clean air and listening, you made it through. And if you'll stop and just consider this for a second, God has a 100% track record of bringing you through hard times. It may seem like a terrible situation right now, but so far God has a perfect record of bringing you through hard situations. So we can have hope in that. Amen? Now, what kind of things should we put on our foundation? Well, let's look at John chapter 3. We'll just start right there. John chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody knows this verse. Even people that aren't born again know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times do you actually just stop and think about that verse? How much does God love you? He loved you so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for your sins. That's a lot of love. The Bible also tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is, it tells us to believe the love that God has for you. There's too much pressure put on people to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. That's the law. Did you know that? That's the law. After the cross, God wants us to focus on how much he loves us. See, if you put the focus on you, I promise you, you're going to be frustrated and fail. But if you put the focus on God, and you focus on how much he loves you, loving some of these other people are going to be a lot easier. I didn't say anything about liking them. I said loving them. You know, you can love somebody without liking them. That's one of the tricks that the devil uses. He'll have somebody say, "You're supposed to love me," and I said, "I do love you. Why ain't you being nice to me?" I am being nice to you. I'm not standing on your neck after what you did. I do love you. But you need to go on down the road. See, you don't necessarily have to be nice to when the devil is doing something really ratty through somebody. You don't have to be nice to them. There's a difference between loving somebody and being nice. John chapter 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." Receive the gift of no condemnation. You know, some Pharisees caught a woman in the act of adultery, and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus and said, "According to our law, she should be stoned." Did you notice there's two tiers of justice there? There's always been two tiers of justice. Where was the man? He could have got stoned. But they picked her. Jesus wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but it must have been pretty good because everybody walked away. Everybody walked away. And he looked at this woman and said, "Where are those thine accusers?" And she says, "There are none." says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, did you get that? She got the gift of no condemnation first so that she could go and sin no more. Now, if Jesus would have said, go and sin no more, I won't condemn you, she would have been in the same boat. But he said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. She got the gift of no condemnation. We need to receive the gift of no condemnation. A lot of times people get born again and they think it's just good enough to get to heaven. But they still feel condemned because they don't understand what the blood of Jesus did in completely washing away their sins and making them a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of people wish that they could start their life over. Christians are in this same boat. They wish that they could start off with a clean slate. You know, the minute you got born again, you did. Yep. With God. When you got made a new creature in Christ Jesus, you had a brand new clean slate. Boom. It was finished with Him. He doesn't remember what you did. And here's the special thing that you need to understand about a new creature. A new creature has no past. Yours got dealt with. You've been made perfect in the eyes of God. And He sees you through the veil of the blood of Jesus. But so-and-so always reminds me, who's so-and-so? Is he a flame of fire from the loins up and a flame of fire from the loins down? No, then he's not God and he doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about you. It matters what God thinks about you. We have to put more emphasis on what God thinks about us and what He says about us than what somebody at the coffee shop or somebody on Facebook or somebody downtown says. We need to focus on what God says about us. He's the only one that counts. You know, in the whole scheme of things, when you take your final breath on this earth and you go before Jesus, it's not going to matter what anybody else said. It's not going to matter even what Mama said. It's only going to matter what God said about you and your decision for Christ. Amen. Let's look over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now right there is where we got our foundation. Did you know that nothing you ever did before that point matters? In the whole scheme of things. But right there, when you made your decision for Christ, that changed absolutely everything. All the trophies, all the accomplishments, everything that we ever earned, everything that we ever worked for, did you know that's just going to fade away? But it's your decision for Christ. That will never, ever wear away. One way or the other, your decision for Christ is going to mean everything when you take your final breath. If you said yes for Jesus, you're going to be in the arms of God. If you said no, you're going to be eternally cut off from God. But here's the bad part of it is, you're going to know that Jesus is Lord. And you're not going to be able to make a decision for Him anymore. It's going to be finalized. You'll be forever trapped in the most horrendous, offensive place that has ever been made. But if you do call for Jesus, then it's going to be all good. Amen? Now look over to 2 Corinthians. We'll start adding some stones on our foundation here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's a really good start. There's a really good stone right there. One thing we have to understand is when we got born again, our past got dealt with. Now man may remind us of it, but not God. Man may have some things, you know. A lot of people, like me, before we got born again, our lives were like a train wreck in progress. We were going the wrong way, full speed. All of a sudden, we got born again and we hit the brakes. But that train is still, woo, you know. And it takes a little while to get the wreck stopped. As far as God's concerned, it stopped. We still got this thing called life that we got to learn how to live on life's own terms and get stuff turned around and get going the other way. And this is where we start wondering why, if God forgives us so much and God doesn't remember our past, then why does He? Well, we're stuck in this natural world. We're still attached to this world. We no longer are part of this world, you know, we're not of this world, we belong to another kingdom, but man, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get stuff cleaned up. But just know this, God is not holding your past against you. You've been made clean and new. Now, go down to verse 21 there. And it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That word righteousness is key to our Christian walk. Righteousness means right standing. When we got born again, everything that was wrong between us and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus, and we got put into right standing with God. That means you qualify for all the blessings, you qualify for all the healings, you qualify for all of the favor, all of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the love. You qualify for all of it because of what Jesus did. All you had to do is raise your hand and say, Jesus, save me. That's all you could do. Understanding your righteousness is key to building a strong foundation in life. And in fact, the Bible tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is part of our armor. When we put on, the only way, when I first started hearing about that armor, I said, I need some of that stuff. I didn't know I already had it. And the only way that I could really make it a part of my life is to find out about it and have a revelation of it. And when you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, see, most of the armor is going to come because of a revelation of what the blood of Jesus did for you. That breastplate of righteousness is going to come only because you have a revelation and you understand that because of what Jesus did, you got put into right standing with God. So many times we keep ourselves separated from the promises of God because we don't understand what Jesus did. Look over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when I found those verses, I thought, man, I found my bird's nest on the ground. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And Abraham's blessings are mine, and I thought that was cool. And that's all those two verses, I ran into those, and I was trying to get a hold of those. I was trying to get my teeth sunk under them. I ran into a pastor, and he said, that's all for the Israel, that's for the Jews. Oh. Well, I didn't know. Now, whenever you read those two verses, you make sure you read verse 29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When you got born again, you became Christ, right? That means you're the seed of Abraham, you're heirs according to the promise. Matter of fact, you are more of an heir to Abraham's blessings than the Jewish people are. Think about that for just a second. And you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people running around that are afraid the curse is going to come on them. If they make a mistake, if they do this wrong, if they don't do this right, if they don't do this, or if they do this wrong, they think that maybe God's going to cause them to have a sickness, or God's going to cause poverty upon them. You know, this is called schizophrenic Christianity. They think one minute God's blessing them, one minute God's cursing them. You know, they say, oh, God doesn't curse us. And then when something happens, they blame God. Here's the only way that the curse of the law can operate in your life is if you are picking up parts of the law. If you're trying to operate in the law, and here's the thing, if you break one part of the law, you broke it all. My boss used to say, if it's 95% right, it's all wrong. But if you pick up part of the law and think you're going to keep it, you're going to break the whole thing. Then you disqualified yourself for the curse. Here's a way to test yourself and locate yourself. If there's anything in your life that you're doing or not doing, if you think that if you do it or not do it, and the curse will get you, then you're under the law. Now, this is not a license to sin. But this is a reason for you to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Look unto him. Also, Paul told us, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The way to frustrate grace is try to earn God's favor. But I need his favor. You've got his favor, you just have to receive it. But if you think you're going to do something and God's going to reward you, you're backwards. See, God will be a debtor to no man. So don't think that because you do something that God has to bless you. God has already blessed you. Receive that blessing and then go do something. Amen. Just don't get it backwards. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now go out there and do right things. But don't go out there and do right things trying to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've already been made righteous. Only the blood of Jesus could do that for you. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Abraham's blessings are yours. Look over here to verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law. That means your good works, too. You are not justified by your good works. You're justified by the blood of Jesus alone. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags to Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. How do you do that? By believing on what Jesus did for you in that cross. What happened when he shed his blood? What happened when he came back to life? What happened when he got scourged? Look at these different things that he went through in his passion and receive those new creation realities for yourself. Make that the foundation of your salvation and not what you do or don't do. Look over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. There's Paul. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, there's no good works that you can do to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no good works that you can do to make yourself more righteous. When you got born again, you got made as righteous as you're ever going to be. And I don't care how bad you blow it, you didn't make yourself less righteous. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't undo your righteousness. Your righteousness is totally dependent on the blood of Jesus. Now go to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. When you got born again, you become one of the they that are of faith. And guess what happened to you? You got blessed with faithful Abraham. you fell heir to all of his blessings. If, just in case you're curious to what he had, Melchizedek met him after the slaughter of the kings and said, "Blessed are you, faithful Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, don't it? That's what you fell heir to. Now look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. It's nice to know that we have a helper here all the time that delivers us from this present evil world. No matter what the devil throws at this world, Jesus is already on the scene. He's got us covered. He will deliver us from this mess. And, in fact, he already has delivered us from a lot of it. He said he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I know we're running around on this world, but we're not part of this kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. Let's look over to Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, Peter and John, they didn't have everything figured out. They knew they had the name of Jesus, but they were going to the temple for temple worship. What's that about? Why are these Christians still going to worship with the Jews? That's where they were going. They were going to temple worship. They ran into this guy that was begging alms. And Peter looked on him and said, "Arise in the name of Jesus," and grabbed him and picked him up. The guy took off. Peter found himself in a precarious position, and he came up with the only right answer. He said, "It's Jesus, he did it." That's the best thing you can do. People attack me a lot. You know, we'll pray for somebody, and somebody will get healed, and they say, "You didn't do that." And I said, "I know. Jesus did. He's the only faith healer I know. He's the only miracle worker I know." And then they get madder because I didn't take credit for it. I said, "No, Jesus did that. He said, whatever I shall ask in his name, that's what he will do." How hard is that? Jesus healed them. We get somebody born again. We didn't get them saved. God got them saved. We just witnessed to them and they accepted Jesus. Amen. We didn't do any saving. We couldn't save ourselves. All we could do is call on Jesus. Let's look over here to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We'll finish up with this. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now that sounds like everybody, doesn't it? didn't say anything about sorting them out or qualifying them. Just preached the gospel to everybody. In fact, the Bible says, all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that's Jesus' directions to us. You know, he gave us the foundation. He showed us how to build upon that foundation. And then he showed us what to do with that. See, a lot of times people get born again and that's as far as they go. They don't lay any more stones on their foundation. God wants us to keep learning of Jesus and keep adding to this building that we've been started here with the foundation. But then he wants us to take what we've learned and go out there and tell somebody else about it. All too often we got people that want to stack these stones up in their life and not really go deal with the world. You know, the world's messy. The world is a messy place. Something about redemption. Redemption, you need to understand, redemption is a messy process. I had one preacher tell me one time, said, it's just too easy. Said he used to smoke pot all the time and go fishing every Sunday. He got born again, he quit smoking pot, quit going fishing on Sunday. I thought, good for you. But it's not that easy for everybody. You know, sometimes we get born again and great. There's some stuff attached to us that we got to get off. And sometimes it's kind of hard, but have you ever caught a clean fish? Sometimes you got to catch those fish and you got to scrape them scales off. It takes a little while, but it's worth it. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father, to help us to keep learning more and more of what you did in us and our new creation realities, how the new birth affected us and what you've done to us. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us how to better serve you, more ways, opportunities we can be of useful service to you, to spread your kingdom, to plunder hell and populate heaven. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.